technical difficulties. If you have an Apple product, it's probably not going to work this morning. We don't know why. I have Windows, so mine's working okay. I can get out to internet, et cetera, but my iPad here, I cannot get out to the internet or use the Bible that I normally use for the class. So we're going to get Comcast on here and find out why Apple products sometimes go down once every month, it seems. Maybe. Yeah. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful Sunday. Thank you for this nice weekend. Thank you for giving us people within this church that have discerning minds and hearts and are keeping us all up to date as to what they hear and what's happening around the world. We just pray for your guidance, and we put all our trust in you. Be with us now in this Sunday school hour. We ask all of it in Christ's name. Amen. I got a lot of things I want to cover before I get into Ezekiel. Gatestone Institute, and I'm not going to read this whole article. If you'd like to go out, you can read it. UK still welcoming jihadis. They've allowed two imams who are very radical back into the country to preach their propaganda. And you would think of all, after all the murders there, et cetera, but they're blinded. You know, their way of dealing with it is obvious. Just let them do what they want and keep quiet and hopefully it'll go away. But it's not going to go away. So that's the UK still welcome jihadi imams into their country. Next one is a post from Rosenberg. Putin sending 100,000 troops to the border of NATO states. He's calling it massive war games. And the borders, the states that they're bordering are the Baltic states of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. So those are the states. Those are all NATO countries, by the way. So just be aware, kind of keep an eye. We don't hear a lot of this in our press. So just be aware of what's happening. You also realize that as of September 1st, he expelled 755 Americans within the embassy there. So who knows what's getting ready to happen. Nancy sent out a bunch of nice emails. This one here is interesting. How Buddhist mindfulness can awaken the church. Isn't that amazing? Get into your inner self and that's going to awaken the church. It's all back what Pastor Kurt's been talking about. It's about experience. If I don't experience something or have a certain feeling, then I'm not really, really in tune with Christ and with God. So this article is How Buddhist Mindfulness Can Awaken the Church. If you want to read it, she might have sent some of this to you. The second one is interesting. Oh, I'm not going to be able to read that one. I kind of know what it is. It's talking about Trump's allowing NAR people into his inner circle of religious belief. Not saying Trump's a Christian, not saying that he isn't. He's surrounding himself with the wrong kind of quote-unquote Christian people if they're involved in the NAR. And you all understand what that is, right? NAR is all about the kingdom now. The more that we can do, the more that you can bring it together. They have apostles that they look up to. So that's an article by she sent out. The second one is interesting. We're talking in the book of Ezekiel. Eventually, we're going to get to Gog and Magog. And I've always believed, this is my own view, that Russia at some point would have a southern base close to Israel. Okay? This title is from Breaking Israel News. An aggressive move, Russian military builds base on Syrian-Israeli border. Right across the border from the Golan Heights, they are building a base. And they're going to keep the base there. Okay? Talking about a staging point, okay? Not saying the war is going to happen next week or in 2 weeks. I don't know when that's going to take place. The process is beginning. That's what you need to be aware of. The process of everything happening is beginning to fall into place. And before that, the rapture comes. So that's got to even be closer. The other interesting thing about this whole thing is Erdogan in Turkey. If you all remember back in 2008, 2009, Rosenberg kept saying they're a moderate, they're all in favor of the United States, they're pro-Israeli, etc. And yet in Gog and Magog, they are mentioned as one of the allies of Russia and Iran. So you knew something had to happen. He's expelled all his generals, all his leadership people. In other words, he wants to be the head of the new Ottoman Empire or the new caliphate. Okay? So that's what Turkey's involved in. They're still trying to get into the EU. And here again, God informs him that the people will oppose him in verses 4 through 7. They're not going to accept Ezekiel with open arms. Just not going to happen. Pretty much like we see today. People who we know who believe like us are out spreading the word, and people do not accept that. People do not accept the views that we have here of the end times. Most people in America, and I'm going to say this very the way it is, believe that they're in the kingdom now. That if they can change the culture, change the world, Christ is going to come back and everything is going to be hunky-dory. That's the mindset the people have. And the one propagating this is the church. The church has abandoned its call. That's how I see it. And yet we understand that in the end or toward the end, people would fall away. That's why you question your mind. How can these guys who are so smart? You know what, though? Smartness brings man's wisdom, and man's wisdom gets in the way of God's wisdom. That's the best way to describe that. Because one has certain letters before their name doesn't make them all it. And yet American people have accepted that because we don't know how to study the Bible for ourselves. We've trusted these men with these letters in front of them or these leaders of ours that whatever they say is gospel. And unfortunately, it's not true today. So you have to be careful of who you read, what you listen to. Or if you do it, I know Kurt does it, I do it, but we do it to discern, to see what's going on out there so we can understand to teach you. If you can do that, you're okay. Most people get caught up in the trap that they don't do that. They say, well, you know what? Maybe they got a good point there. Rapture hasn't happened. I've been waiting 50 years for the rapture. Obviously, this side's got it wrong. It's got to be this side over here. That's how they view that. Yes?
Jeff, we know that, you know, the rapture's coming. My father, when I told him that, he said, well, they've been saying that since I was a little kid, and he had seen anything happening. So how do you come back, how do you deal with that when somebody says that?
All it says in Scripture is the rapture is imminent, can happen at any time. It doesn't, it's God's timeline. It's not man's kind to decide when that occurs. We know in the Bible, watching things, that it's getting closer and closer. It says, we wait for the blessed hope. That's the crown you get. There's a crown for waiting for that blessed hope. It's what Kurt talked about last week. There's a crown there that for those of us who turn not away from that belief, but stick to it, there's a crown we're going to get. And it's easy to say, and I've heard that, I've read that, and Kurt's probably heard it too, over and well, you know, you guys have been saying that for 100 years. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the rapture could have came way back then.
Also, they don't understand the element of Israel in history. I think if you don't understand that,
yes, Kurt, and then right here. You can go. Yep.
What you have to consider, what I was kind of still we have to consider, is the amount of time that involved. She was mentioning that up here. I hope people have seen it for 1,000 years. When you take a look at the first prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, it's in Genesis, and the actual coming of the Messiah isn't until thousands of years later.
Yes, Kirk. Okay, so God informs him that the people are going to oppose him. And I want to do this again. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get you, this is the American Standard, go get you into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Now it's amazing. He doesn't say the house of Judah. He says the who? It includes all of them. That's why he doesn't say Judah there. It's Israel. It's all of them. There's no lost ten of anything. When Babylon conquered Assyria, they took captive the Jews that were there in Assyria. Only makes sense. Okay? And speak with my words unto them. So he's not going to speak as himself. He's going to speak with God's words. For you are not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many peoples of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. This is interesting what God says here. It doesn't quite read that way in the NSB, but listen to it here. Surely if I sent you to them, that's the ones who are of the hard speech, hard language, etc., etc., they would hearken unto you. Interesting. They would, in other words, listen to what Ezekiel had to say. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto you, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are of a hard forehead and of a stiff heart. He has a way to describe them. There's no doubt about that. In verse 4, he is to go to the house of Israel and be a, I'm sorry, there's two P's there, a prophet by speaking the words of God to them. Kurt, if you think this is bad today, I lost all my stuff on my flash drive yesterday. It all disappeared. Everything I had just gone into the clouds someplace. Okay? So now Ezekiel is told two things. Okay? He is now commissioned to fulfill his calling of the previous verses in verses 1 through 3. That's what he's getting to. So in verse 4, he's to go to the house of Israel and be a prophet and speak the words of God to him. In verses 5 through 6, God tells Ezekiel to whom he is not being sent to. Okay, who he is not being sent to in verses 5 through 6. It says of strange speech, or in the Hebrew it means deep lip. Okay, deep lip. I'm just telling you what the expression is. They have ways of words that kind of get you the picture of what this is. And the Hebrew expression found is only found here in Isaiah 33:19, and it means a foreign people. A foreign people. In other words, Ezekiel is not being sent to the Gentiles. Okay? He's not being sent to the Gentiles. God has given him a direct call to go speak to his people, not to the Gentiles. And that's why God in these verses reemphasizes this more than twice, so that he gets the picture. And I think that's for us to understand too. He's not being sent to the Gentiles. Of a hard language, which means of a heavy tongue. Okay, of a hard language, which means of a heavy tongue. And again, this expression is found only here and in Exodus 4:10. and emphasizes a lack of eloquence. So in God's eyes at this time, Gentiles lacked eloquence. Okay? And I put this in here. God is strongly emphasizing again that he, Ezekiel, is not being sent to a foreign people, a Gentile people, nor is he being sent to a people who lack elegance. He's not being sent to those people. Okay? That's not who God wants him to go to. Not at this point. Okay? He's not going to speak to those people. Could you imagine maybe what Ezekiel might say? Well, God, I don't speak their language. Or, really, you want me to go to them? Who had a problem with that? Jonah. What do you want me to go to Nineveh for? Those are wicked people. God had to do some mighty things in Jonah's life to grab his attention. Okay, here with Ezekiel, remember, everything that Ezekiel is seeing, the vision and everything, and God talking to him directly has had a profound effect on him. He's going to do exactly what God wants him to do. Okay, exactly what God wants him to do. He's only being sent to his fellow countrymen, the Jewish people. That's who Ezekiel's being sent to. Nobody else. Only to the Jewish people. The verse also points out again that he's not being sent to many peoples of a strange speech and of a hard language. So again, we get this same emphasis again, just kind of repeating itself. And you kind of wonder why you go through it this way. Well, obviously when God does it more than once, he wants you to remember it. Okay? In plain terms, for us to understand, he's not a foreign missionary whose language he cannot understand. He doesn't have to go to language school. Okay? He doesn't have to do that. He's not a foreign missionary. He is a home missionary sent to his own people whose language he understands. Okay? He's a home missionary sent to his own people whose language he understands. Okay, in verse 7, Ezekiel is being sent to the house of Israel and is also being warned at the same time that they will not listen to him. Okay? Then I added this in here. The responsibility of the prophet and of anyone, okay, you can put yourself as anyone, who witnesses is to declare the word of God. He is not responsible for the way they respond. I used to be involved in an organization many, many years ago, and it would sadden me when I go hear a speaker trying to talk to teenagers, and the speaker get upset because only two kids came forward. And I told him, it's not up to you how many come forward. Even back then, before I knew a whole lot of the Bible, it's not up to us as to how someone responds. It's up to us to say something, and then that's it. Ezekiel knew he was, in his own eyes, he probably thought, I'm a failure. No one's listening to me. And yet God told him, that's not true. That's not your responsibility. So if you have in your mind, well, I can't say this because people won't like me or people aren't going to respond, that's not your call to do. God just says, witness. And that can be by the life or the actions you live. You can't worry about if they respond to me, because who are they rejecting in the first place? They're not rejecting you. And I think that's what God is trying to teach Ezekiel, and there's some things that we get out of this. In fact, God states in where we just read it, that if he had sent him to a foreign people, they would have listened to what Ezekiel had to say. They would have, what the Old Testament would call, repented. They would have paid attention. They would have obeyed. But he is not being sent to a people, but he is being sent to a people who will not respond. God's already warned him. They're not going to respond to you because of me. Again, he's told to expect failure. Think about that. How many of you or me would go? Okay, I want all of you to go in to the city of Flint, but expect failure. But meet me here at 9 o'clock Saturday morning. How many would show up? Already knowing you're going to expect failure. See, our minds don't work that way. They don't work that way, and yet Ezekiel is going to do exactly what God tells him to do. Don't worry about Ezekiel. Just do what I say. They're not disobeying you. They're disobeying me. And that's the lesson that we have to learn. If we're talking to somebody about the Lord, if they reject us, they're not rejecting us. We can't get upset about it. Just put a smile on your face. Okay, thank you for your time, and that's it. That's it. So the reason Israel will not respond is because they have not listened to God, thus they will not listen to the prophet. Why are they in captivity, people? Because they were good? It's not why they're in captivity. Because for hundreds of years they haven't listened to what God told them to do. It's got nothing to do with Ezekiel. They've had the law. They know what was expected of them. They refused to follow it. That's what they were supposed to do back then. They refused to do that. They put heathen altars in the temple. We'll read in some other chapters of Ezekiel where they're worshiping the Queen of Heaven and baking cakes to Tammuz. You think God's happy with that? And these are his people. But you know what? He still loves them. Just like us. The mistakes that we make, and God still loves us. It's the same thing. I don't know if he's ever called any of us stiff-headed, hard-headed. Maybe. Maybe some of us are like that. But he will use them eventually, and we talk about this today, and we mentioned it earlier. Israel has a place in time. If there's no Israel, there's no Messianic kingdom. It's that simple. People who say that's not true, they don't understand the Bible real well. If there's no Israel, there's no Messianic kingdom. Period. It's not going to happen. No matter what I do, you do, the world does, it's not going to change the world. You realize that the globalists are so unafraid of sharing what they want to do? It's right out in the open now. 30, 40 years ago, you never heard words like that. First time I heard the word globalism was when it was creeping into the schools as a class. Back in the early 80s. That's the first time I've heard of that description. They're getting the kids ready. That generation is ready for that. The ones since that time are ready for that. Most of the time, they were hidden. They were around. Rockefeller, he was there. But they weren't so outspoken as they are today. Now they come right out and tell you. They're not hidden about it. They're not ashamed of it. This is what we're going to do. Only God will allow them to do, though, within his timeline of what they can and cannot do. Okay? What time we got here? We got 1 minute. See, because they didn't listen because God had already revealed to them the law of Moses. They had the law. You may think, well, that wasn't real fair. That's what he had with them. That's the covenant he made with them. They were supposed to do this, this, and this, and then he would do this, this, and this. That's what was set up. Whether or not we look back and say, well, that's kind of harsh, that worked. But as you can see, they drifted further and further and rebelled and rebelled and rebelled. And God knew in His infinite wisdom that something else would have to happen. In fact, we know all the way back in Genesis, He was going to send who? Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. Way back then, you already had a picture of what was going to happen. That the law would not work. The law would not work. I'll close with this. They did not obey God in the law, nor will they obey the prophets. Not just Ezekiel, all the prophets. All the prophets. When they came out of captivity, did anything change? He brought them out. He told them it would only be for 7 years. Did anything change? They just went on doing the same things. Nothing changed. Redid the temple. But who had already left the temple? We'll get into that Ezekiel. Shekinah glory is already gone. So when they build the temple, He's not there. He will not be there when they build the tribulation temple. They can build a temple, but it's not going to be where the Shekinah glory is. It's not where God is going to be. It's not going to happen. Not until Christ builds the millennial temple will He be on that throne. Okay? Not until then. Any questions? We got through verse 7. I would read ahead so you kind of get an idea of what Ezekiel's dealing with. Eventually we'll get into where he's judging the nations. But yet, he's also going to have that part in there in those chapters 30 of restoring Israel, becoming a nation. Okay? And then Gog and Magog, you may be seeing the process of that taking place right now with people aligning with each other. See, no time in history has that happened. It's happening in front of our eyes that they're aligning together. Okay? No other time have there been allies with Russia like Iran or Turkey jumping on board or Syria jumping on board. Maybe in the back door type dealings, but now pretty open. So just keep an eye on what's going on in the Middle East. I would find some papers from Israel to read because our news here is not going to tell you what's going on over there, not accurately. Israel Today, Jerusalem Post, is that one, that Breaking News Israel, is that a paper or just a news site? Okay, that's another paper. Just read them. Discern what you read. Be careful there too. But at least they're going to tell you what's happening in that part of the world that we don't hear about so much over here. Okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for Ezekiel and his boldness and willing to speak. We pray that You will give that boldness to us and that we don't get upset when people do or don't respond. And we know that they're not responding to You. It's who they're not responding to. Just be with us now as we prepare for the service. Be with Pastor Kurt as he brings the message to us. Help us to clear our minds and our thoughts and just give us a time of fellowship now. If we ask all this in Your name, amen.